The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make it plan.
Day one of the NBA draft in the books. And no, I know what you're thinking. Did they draft Bronny?
Bronny Day's today.
Bronny did not get drafted. For everybody out there who was wondering about that. Bucks did make a pick. And I'm not going to lie. I was unfamiliar with this gentleman. AJ Johnson?
That is correct.
AJ Johnson. So I obviously am more familiar with the college basketball players. And so those guys who were drafted, you know, you're familiar with their game. You've watched them maybe play Marquette, maybe play Wisconsin, maybe play in the NCAA tournament.
So only about half the guys drafted yesterday.
Well, yes, because France had a day.
It's a French Revolution.
France had a day. But I was unfamiliar with AJ Johnson. So you know what you do. You start reading, you start clicking, you start looking at all the people who are familiar with this young man's work. And so he played in the Australian League?
That is correct.
Tell me about how this works. He's from Southern California.
Correct.
And then decided to just go overseas to play?
So initially, I believe he had committed to Texas and then decided that, no, I want to play professionally, didn't want to play.
Not Texas with Shaka, though.
No.
Shaka was already gone.
Well gone. Yeah. This was because he's 19 years old. So this would have been last year. He played 1 year in Australia. So he finished up high school, was committed to Texas, decided he didn't want to go play for Texas. And with his overseas options,
he
decided to go play in Australia.
There he is.
Very, very similar to what Brandon Jennings did, although Jennings played in China, I believe, versus Australia. If that parallel helps you where, oh, I've got to wait a year before I can get drafted, I'm going to go here and play with these professionals.
So what I'm not going to do this morning is pretend that I know a whole hell of a lot about AJ Johnson. I just don't.
And his brother is Jalen Green, who was drafted second overall by the Rockets in 2020.
What a good little trivia nugget there, Chris. Good morning, Chris, joining us this morning and for the next few days as our buddy Josh DiMaggio is on vacation. I had no idea. I bet most people didn't know that considering they don't share a last name.
It's tough to put together.
Yeah, Green.
Well, especially
and
like with a last name like Johnson. You start trying to connect all the Johnsons, it's tough.
Speaking of, aren't there a lot of AJs now on the roster? Bucks have a lot of AJs?
Yeah, so you've got AJ Green. Now you have AJ Johnson, and I guess you would also have, I mean, he's not an AJ, but Andre Jackson Jr. You know, there's A's and J's all over the place there.
A's and J's and Johnsons and oh boy. So how should we look at this pick? What's the way that we should look at it? I guess it comes down to, Gabe, whether or not you agree with or believe in the direction of the Bucks, how much you think Doc Rivers is pulling these strings, how much you think it's Horst pulling these strings. Like, how should Bucks fans feel this morning with the addition of A.J. Johnson as they hope that the Bucks will regain their championship form?
So the way I look at this is they decided to try to take a swing at somebody who has a very high upside and is not going to be able to help right away. This was a bad draft in terms of like the talent pool. Next year's draft is supposed to be very, very good for the NBA. But Fran Fraschilla had said earlier this week on ESPN Radio that the top three picks, the guys who are going to go the top three in a normal year, might be back end top 10 guys. So there's not a lot of like, you know, there was no Victor Wembanyama. There was no clear cut consensus. Number one, this guy's going to be a star. This is kind of a draft where, all right, maybe you can pick up a depth piece here or there. No consensus star. So you take a big swing on somebody who is incredibly raw, needs a lot of seasoning, needs a lot of development, and you hope that you can develop him down the line. But he's not going to. I do not expect A.J. Johnson to play any sort of significant role for the Bucks in this upcoming season because he's 6'4 and 167 pounds, Chew.
Whoa!
It's like the size of your left leg.
167. I'm creeping up to 167, guys. I mean,
let's see. I was 167 pounds in
fourth grade.
Ninth grade?
Yeah.
Ninth grade.
So,
ninth
and grade. You were probably 6'4", drafted, too.
Ninth grade, 6'3".
Yeah, so you were like the size of this guy in ninth grade.
Should have drafted Bronny, lured LeBron to Milwaukee, and traded Chris Middleton. Bam! Championship. God, I should have been an NBA GM. That's all they need. That's it. I'd be happy with everyone else. Make that move. Oop. Am I right?
But there's no guarantee that LeBron would have followed Bronny to Milwaukee.
He would have came. He wants to play with his son. Who doesn't want to play with their son?
Yeah, look, I don't fault him for that, but I think that the agency that LeBron is a part of has pulled a lot of strings, and he's just going to... Bronny's going 55 to the Lakers today, and that's that.
But if he did, if let's just say it happened, would they be the favorite to win the Larry O'Brien?
If
Dame, LeBron, and Giannis.
Yes, they would be the favorites, yes.
Should have done it.
Was never going to happen.
Why?
Because LeBron wasn't
going to
come.
Chris?
Well, no, LeBron wasn't going to come to Milwaukee.
How do you know that?
Because I know LeBron's going to stay in L.A. Like, he's pulling all the strings to have these things happen, even though supposedly J.J. Redick and LeBron didn't talk at all throughout this entire process, hosting a podcast together.
In addition, I believe there was an article that came out last week that said LeBron has sort of backed off.
Yeah.
Taken himself out of the situation.
Sure.
Wink, wink.
After 20 years, he's finally seen the light, and he's going to stop interfering with the roster and the coaching and all those things. He's going to stop doing that after 20 years.
He's going to let it all shake out the way it's supposed to, huh?
But they need a big move in order to win it all.
But it's not going to happen in the draft.
Good enough,
yeah,
right?
It's
not going to happen in the draft. It's going to happen free agency. What? So he's got to go. They got to get a big name because they're not good enough.
They're not going to get a
they're
big
name. They're not good enough, Gabe.
They can't get a big name.
So they're going to roll it back?
For the most part, but like they're incredibly limited with what they can do. Like there was a rumor going around yesterday on social media about the Bucks trying to acquire Andrew Wiggins from Golden State. And the rumor was, they were going to trade Bobby Portis and then aggregate some contracts to match the salary. The Bucks cannot do that. So that was an incorrect rumor because the Bucks cannot actually do that. They can't aggregate salaries to match somebody else because that's one of the penalties for being over the tax part of the CBA that they are. So they're very limited in what they can do in acquiring other players.
So the other news yesterday, of course, that we were paying attention to, Chu, was the guys from Marquette, Tyler Kolek and Oso Iguodaro, also waiting. Neither of them drafted in the first round. And I do like this comment that we are seeing from Jalen8998 on the YouTube page. Remember, you can always stream the show on our ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. He says, Kolek better go before Bronny. I kind of feel the same way. Like, from a talent standpoint, guys, Tyler Kolek is significantly better than Bronny James. And I know that you want it to be a good fit and you want him to go to a place where he can develop and contribute and have a good long career in the NBA. But I'm kind of with him there. Like, from a talent standpoint, we've seen a whole hell of a lot more from Tyler Kolek than we have from LeBron James. And I would like to see him go off the board before, you know.
Well, we know where Bronny's going. He's going 55 to the Lakers. So do you believe that Tyler Kolek is going to go before 55 and the Lakers? I tend to believe that he will. He is going to be one of those first 24 picks happening today. By the way, draft happening at 4 o'clock. Very strange. Very strange.
Well, what would you prefer? Like a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, that's typically, if you're putting it on a Thursday, why are you putting it on a Thursday afternoon?
I wanted to go to sleep, and I'm waiting for the Bucks pick going, come on! Let's go. Tick, 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 tick.
You wouldn't have had to wait tonight. It'd be like 7:15, and the Bucks would already be done.
That's why I'm okay with the 4 a.m. start. Go ahead, Chu.
Kolek is good enough offensively, right?
Yes.
It's just the defensive side that he's got to get much better at.
Yeah, and I think
he's going to be a pretty good pro. I really do.
Yeah.
Because he can shoot.
Yes. Well, he can shoot. He can distribute, right? Like, and that's the one thing that he can lead. I think he's going to have an impact with whoever drafts him as like a second unit point guard. And I think if... I saw some mocks. I thought him going to Phoenix would have been really interesting. I thought he would have fit in with those guys really well because he doesn't need the ball. He can distribute the ball to the three guys that they currently have. Obviously, that ended up not happening last night. So I know the Jazz have been rumored to have interest in him. They've got the second pick in the second round today. See if he ends up in Utah. But I mean, I'm expecting Kolek to be one of the first 10 guys to go today in the second round. Oso, on the other hand, I'm not sure when Oso's going. As much as we love Oso Iguodaro, I think you need to have some sort of shot to be that size in the NBA. You can't just be 6'9 and be hanging out around the rim. As much as all the other things, like him being a defender, a perimeter defender, can guard multiple positions, he can facilitate as a big guy, I think you need to have some sort of, like, even he doesn't even have, like, a mid-range shot. He'll just shoot those little push shots.
So both of these guys are expected to go in the second round today. You think Tyler goes before Oso, sounds like, even though there have been rumors out there that the Pacers could be a good landing spot for Oso Iguodaro, and they're at 36. So they're coming right up. Like, as soon as the sucker starts, you said at 4 p.m. Is that local?
It's 3 p.m. local time, 4 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, they've indoctrinated us to the Eastern time zone. It's really unfair. So you think Tyler goes before Oso?
I do.
Let's put that on the Jen Game and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Which Marquette star goes first today in the second round? Now, again, that's assuming that they both go in the second round. Is it Oso Iguodaro? Is it Tyler Kolek? And you're saying that both of them go before Bronny James? Or you think Oso, there's a chance he slips and does not get drafted?
I think there's a chance that Oso slips. I don't know. It's all over the place, right? Like, I mean, the guy the Bucks drafted would have been mocked into the second round by a lot of places. But if somebody all it takes is one team to fall in love with the potential in this type of draft. And they go, whatever. We're just going to take this guy. Hopefully we can develop him.
You know, this does explain why there was so much traffic yesterday in New York. I forgot that the NBA draft was going on. Driving around, going, why is it taking me an hour plus to get from LaGuardia to downtown? Now, they were at the Barclays, but I'm sure a lot of guys were staying in Midtown, staying in Manhattan as well. Chew, as far as the Bucks go going forward, you feel confident that they are putting a team together? If Gabe is correct and this pick is not necessarily going to contribute this season, you still feel confident that they are going to put the pieces together this offseason to be back in contention for a championship? Or is it starting to feel like it's slipping away?
No. I love Horst. I love the moves he makes. I love the move with Dame. He's done it before. Who did they get rid of and pivoted like 3 or 4 years ago?
Oh, when they took
the point guard
Bledsoe. They got rid of Bledsoe to get
Holiday. When they got Holiday, he's continuously making moves. He'll do something. I don't know what it's going to be, but he's going to trade something. I have complete confidence in him. I like what he does.
It
kind of reminds me of a Ron Wolf.
I love what he does, too. And he continuously pulls rabbits out of a hat because I did not think, last year they had enough to go get Dame, and then they did. But seeing how limited they are, like, I'm not expecting a big move. I'm expecting something, but I'm not expecting any sort of big, splashy, sexy offseason move just because they are so limited with what they can do within the limits of the CBA.
All right, we're putting that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll as well. Chewy says that John Horst reminds him of Ron Wolf. He has complete confidence in him. Do you have complete confidence in the Bucks GM? That'll be a simple yes or no, as we will continue to monitor the NBA and the draft this evening and see what the local ties as the evening goes on. We got to take a break. We got to get to Jason Wilde. There is Packers stuff to talk about as well. Lots of people jumping on the Jordan Love bandwagon. Again, I saw Mike Tannenbaum. I saw Dan Orlovsky. There are so many national pundits who really, really like this guy. And then there is the comparison between Jordan Love and Dak Prescott. Who would you rather pay $60 million to? If $60 million is the number, who would you rather give it to? We'll talk about that with Jason Wilde and more right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Good.
Jason Wilde. Wow. Excuse me. Man, this voice. Real pain. Real pain in the neck. Literally. Jason Wilde joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Jason, how was your vacation? How was your time off?
Ready, down, put.
You okay back there, Chris?
Yeah, Jason's not coming through on the phone for some reason, so he's connected here.
I thought Jason was playing linebacker during minicamp with that. Jason, how'd you do? Shut up!
We are efforting Jason Wilde then? He's on the line, but we just can't hear him.
Yeah, for some reason we can't connect him to the board here.
Ooh.
All right.
That sounds troubling.
All right then. Chewy, do you want to play the role of Jason?
Question.
Yeah, I was about
yeah
to say,
I'll be Chewy, Jason.
Chewy should play the role
All
of
right.
Jason.
Jason, how was your vacation? How was your time off?
And it was okay. A lot of chores. I didn't do much. I'm happy to be back. But work, my work day, my work year has started. No more vacation.
Are you playing Jason or playing Chew? There's a lot of similarities here.
A lot of times when those actors, you know, take roles because they see themselves.
Okay, well, should I ask faux Jason about the Jordan Love contract situation, or should we just...
I think you should ask faux Jason.
Well, I just got some breaking news. They're trading Jordan Love, actually.
Okay, now we need to stop this nonsense.
Before somebody actually believes it. Like, Nick, can you imagine if somebody just turned on the show to hear Chewy saying, well, I have some breaking
news.
Well,
a lot of people do just turn on the show to hear Jason Wilde. I'm in tune with that. I'm aware of that. So, yes, I am a little nervous that somebody is hearing Chewy talk about Jordan Love and thinking that maybe that's real.
Well, I had a dream. I told you guys I had a dream about Ron Wolf last night. I always get these dreams around training camp, and they're so real. I was actually scared and woke up. So I was in the locker room. At my locker, it was the old locker, and Ron came in with some minion. It would have been like Goody back in the day when he was an intern. And he said, I want to see you Monday night for dinner and bring your two cohorts.
Oh, so Brett and Frankie.
Yeah.
No, you and Gabe.
What?
Because we are being disparaging the Packers over the air.
Well, it seems like it's
going to try to control us.
Seems like it's going to be a friendly conversation, though. He's inviting us over for dinner. We're not going to his office.
He called us cohorts. You don't call people cohorts if it's a friendly conversation.
Cohorts is only a word that Chewy uses. All right, like let's be honest here.
Don't think Ron.
But I literally got
cohorts.
I think he would use a stronger word.
I got nervous and I woke up, and I had to process it for a minute. And I'm like, did that really happen? Kind of wish it did. That would have been
okay,
kinda
cool, let's talk about this for a minute. I don't like work dreams. I have work dreams. Gabe famously doesn't remember his dreams, so he has no idea if he has work dreams. Work dreams are the worst because they give you the greatest sense of anxiety. You know, like something in my dream, I suppose, could happen to my kids and that would be up there. But like I do have dreams where I am underperforming at a certain task at work, and then I'm getting reprimanded or some boss figure is expressing disappointment, and it's very uncomfortable. And I, too, Chewy, have woken up and like, wait, did that really happen?
So then when this happens, does it take you guys a while to fall back asleep?
Yeah.
Because of the anxiety? Yeah. Like, you wake up because of the anxiety, as you just mentioned, Chew. So now, like, is this, well, I'm up, so now I got to go wander the house for a while until I get tired again? Like, what are we talking
not
about?
Not that bad. But I told you guys I'd get TMJ for like 10 years this time of year after I was done playing because I used to get it when I played. And it, you guys ever had it? It just, your jaw just hurts. But, Jen, do you get that? Are you like, all right, I'm running out of time here before I got to start traveling all over the country?
Yeah, I was telling you.
I mean, can you enjoy like the last 3 weeks of August? Are you like, I got my schedule. I got to go to Alabama. I got to go to Washington. I got to go.
Column A, column B. Sometimes I'm okay because I like know when we have to start. Like this year we're starting and we're going to Ireland. So that's exciting, right? To be able to go overseas and sort of, have that unique experience. But, like, I saw somebody the other day post 9 Saturdays until college football, and I was like, you shut the bleep up right now. You shut your face right now. I don't need to know that we're at single digits before college football starts up again. So yes, but what I was going to say about the anxiety is what I will have to do, Gabe, is I will have to run through the previous couple of days in my head to try to determine if the interaction that I dreamt about, as I'm trying to figure out if it's real or not, could have fit in that day anywhere. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So like I have this interaction with my boss where he tells me, you're no good. Why are you even here? Something, you know, along those lines, very obviously dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, wait, okay, that took place in Bristol. I live in Milwaukee. I haven't been to Bristol recently. Boom, it was a dream. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, you have to, like,
myself through
to make sure it wasn't real.
Yes.
But to eliminate some of the anxiety.
As a player, your anxiety, I mean, if you play for X amount of years, your anxiety changes. Because when I first got into the league, and it came around this time of year, you're wondering what you're doing in 2 months. Are you Peyton Bridges? Or are you playing special teams? Right? And then you morph into, okay, I'm playing. And then you're solid as a starter. And then that's a different kind of anxiety because you're like, all right, we're pretty good. I got to get my job done. I got to be, you know, one of the top five guys. You're secure that you're going to be there. But the anxiety changes because there's so much pressure along. And Jordan Love's going to feel this. There's so much pressure in being paid in the top five, the top three, or being the top play because there's so much scrutiny on you.
Did you feel that when you
became
the highest paid tight end?
If Jordan Love gets $57 million and just starts out first eight games is meh, and they're 5-3, man, that anxiety does not go away.
The impression I get from Jordan Love is that he's pretty cool as a cucumber. We talk a lot about Scottie Scheffler's composure and how he can handle, you know, these unusual events that happen and still go out there and perform. I'm not saying that Jordan Love is Scottie Scheffler, but feel like he's close to that from a composure standpoint.
But even Scottie, when Scottie won his first Masters, he talked about going in. He had a big lead going into the final round. He talked about how he cried, like, he was feeling the pressure so much, like it came out of him. Because what if I'm not ready for this moment? What if I'm not ready for this? And obviously then he stepped up and was. But I think there are probably things behind the scenes that he's very good at keeping the composure in front of the cameras. But I think, yeah, anybody feels that pressure, even if you seem like you're the coolest guy in the room.
All right. Chris handled the pressure of not having Jason Wilde earlier in the show. It appears as though he has fixed the problem. And we do have Jason Wilde. Jason, good morning. Are you there?
It's my best segment on this show ever.
Fantastic.
You should have heard Chewy.
Flawless.
Should have heard Chewy doing his best Jason.
So, Jason, here's what I think we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy just so we don't absolutely destroy the clock. But when we come back, we'll hear all about your time off, and then we will dive into all of the Packers news that you want to share with us this morning. Does that work for you?
Well, considering I did nothing on my time off, yes, that'll be a very abbreviated portion of our time.
Fantastic. Everybody tuning in to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Jason Wilde is going to join us right after this.
You know how much we love golf. You know how much we love baseball here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Well, now you can combine both. Purchase single-game tickets and sim time at X-Golf at American Family Field on the Brewers single-game ticket website. If you're unfamiliar with X-Golf at American Family Field, sits up there in left field, great food and beverage options, especially on those really hot days. Might not be a bad place to go hang out in the air conditioning and see some great views of the game. Plus, new this year, you've probably seen Bernie Slide. You've been to AmFam Field. You probably went, you know what? I want to go down that. Well, now you can. If you make an ace during a regular round of golf at X Golf at American Family Field, game day, non-game day, you and a friend can go down Bernie Slide. Find out more at xgolfamfamfield.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold can be
shrinkage.
Good, too.
Yeah, well, no,
cold
shrinkage
can
gets
be
involved.
Good.
It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Now we have Jason Wilde, who is returning to us from his time off from his vacation. As he revealed to us a few moments ago, he didn't do a whole heck of a lot during that time. So, Jason, I'm going to move past that. I'm not even going to ask you about your time off. I'm going to ask you something we were discussing while we were vamping, waiting for you in the previous, not you, but the phones, in the previous segment. Do you ever have work dreams?
I'm sorry, I was just pretending that I wasn't here. I was listening to that while Chris was doing a great job trying to get the phones to operate properly. I've had this happen too, where I'm trying to figure out, did this happen or did I dream it? And I thought, I never thought to do it. Like, you were very surgical with figuring it out. All right, this incident happened on the Bristol campus. I haven't been to Bristol, therefore this was a dream. I'm gonna steal that technique.
Fantastic. But I love here. I mean, I think that people in a professional setting, we have one of our loyal listeners weighing in on the YouTube page saying that I work at a law firm and I have dreamt about drowning in manila folders. Like, you know, there's a metaphor there. There's something that is happening there. And I think it's, again, when you are concerned about or you have anxiety about an upcoming assignment or an upcoming, you know, project that is due, it obviously will infiltrate your dreams. And so, yes, I think we all have kind of fallen victim to that at times. I'm just happy to hear that you, Jason, somebody who has done your job for a very long time at a very high level, also deals with that.
Yeah, all I know is listening to the commercial break, it sounds like we all need to call betterhelp.com. Adam Schefter told us, so we can work our way through these dreams that we're having about our work anxiety. I actually really enjoyed the conversation that I listened to earlier about Jordan Love and anxiety and expectations, because I was thinking the exact same thing last night when, I can't remember if it was Tausch or Jesse, sent me like the latest high praise. You know, we had Greg Cosell on talking about how great Jordan Love is while I was gone. We had Dan Orlovsky on talking about how great Jordan Love is. We had Mike Tannenbaum on when I was on a week or two ago, and he was talking about how great Jordan Love is. And then I saw that he said something on NFL Live that other than Patrick Mahomes, the only person on the planet that he would start a team with is Jordan Love. And I found myself wondering, at any point, does this become detrimental? And I had the same thought you did, Jen, that this guy is so calm and even keeled, and he doesn't seem, you know, he's humble, doesn't seem full of himself, doesn't seem to have reached a point where he thinks he has all the answers, although Matt LaFleur did reveal to us during the mini camp that they're working on giving him more responsibility at the line of scrimmage to change the play completely, which he did not do last year. But I started to wonder, even for people that are, I believe you used the phrase, cool as a cucumber, if this starts to become a lot to put on a person and how Jordan Love is going to react to that. Because myself included, I feel like we've all kind of just, you know, written the story of the 2024 season of, yeah, maybe he'll have a glitch or two, but this is the start of him being the next great quarterback in the NFL, and maybe these level of expectations and all the plaudits that he's received during this offseason, maybe that's going to put a strain and more pressure on him than we first were thinking as it started to ramp up.
Jason, how in-depth of a search did the Packers do when trying to find the next president of the organization?
Well, they compiled a 90-person list of candidates. I think you were like 92 or 93.
Damn.
I mean, you've got a lot of history up here. Nice. We'd love to have you. Yeah, that's a great number for Ben Sims. But then, you know, I think the fact that they knew who they wanted, they knew that that Ed Policy was going to be a really good fit. I think they knew he was going to be a finalist regardless. And I think what they did was they, and wisely so, protected themselves of A, hey, maybe there's a candidate that blows us out of the water and looks like the guy that should definitely be the guy, or B, if they had policy completely blew the interview, that they had other options. And neither of those things happened. And so the guy that they kind of thought was going to be the guy all along ends up being the guy who is the guy. And I think it made a lot of sense.
Have you spent any time around Ed Policy, Jason? Is there anything that you can share with the fans mm-hmm. about anything, you know, personality-wise about him, anything that you've learned?
Yeah. Now, look, I don't want to compare him to Bob Harlan because that obviously would be unfair to him, and I can't make that comp because, frankly, Bob Harlan is one of my favorite human beings to ever walk the earth. But unlike Mark Murphy, and I said this, it was on Monday when I was theoretically off, but all this news happened. You know, Mark Murphy did, to put it politely and kindly, sometimes say the quiet part out loud, and maybe his public statements were at times a little problematic for the organization. Fair? Is that a fair description?
I think that's a fair description, yes.
His approach? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen with Ed Policy. I do think that he, you know, having been around his dad and seen firsthand how his dad ran organizations as the president of the 49ers and then to a lesser degree of success, the Cleveland Browns, I think he's cut from a different cloth. He does not want to necessarily be viewed as a amateur stand-up comic, which I feel like Mark Murphy is always chasing the laugh, trying to get those one-liners, those zingers in. But I think the most important thing is that, and I have talked to Ed a lot. I don't know if that's because Mark Murphy didn't really like talking to me that I ended up talking to Ed more often. But he's a really sharp guy. But and this is where the comp to Bob comes in a little bit. I think he's really got good people skills. Like, if you talk to anybody in the building, whether they work at the pro shop or in PR or on the janitorial staff or on the football staff or on the business side, they all really like Ed Policy. I can tell you that this was a very popular choice inside the building among people across the various departments. And so, that doesn't mean he's not going to have some tough decisions at times. It doesn't mean that he's going to not have to fire anybody at any point or anything like that. But I really think that he has a really good demeanor, and it's different than Mark Murphy's in terms of his public persona. But I think it really was the exact right hire, and I wasn't surprised at all that it happened, other than the fact that it happened on Monday when I was technically on vacation.
Jason, we talked about this a little bit when the Ed Policy thing was announced. What do you think will define Mark Murphy's legacy? And recognizing that there is still a season that he will have under his belt when it's all said and done, and, of course, the NFL draft being held in Green Bay next spring. Mm-hmm. How would you define his legacy?
Yeah, first of all, getting the draft, right? I mean, that became their goal. Literally, they started working on their proposal or figuring out a way to try and get it when the NFL decided to move the draft around. What was it, Chicago the first 2 years, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, like 2014 or 2013, something like that.
Yep, somewhere in there, right. And so that's obviously the crown jewel of his legacy. You know, he did navigate, although again, sometimes speaking out of turn, even when he was accurate, right? The complicated fella quote for me is up there in the pantheon of Mark Murphy moments. I would just say this, and he obviously did not play on the field, so it's not exactly the same, but if we're going to look at legacies for the presidency, he was the president for the entirety of Aaron Rodgers' time as the starting quarterback. And if we're going to always point out that Rodgers only won one Super Bowl, then that has to be part of the equation for Mark Murphy as well. But overall, to me, the biggest thing when you look at his legacy is, on one side, he hired the exactly right people in Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, given where they're at now with their organization. But on the other side, part of his legacy has to be changing the structure, which, you know, I got a bunch of questions on Monday. If I thought that Ed Policy would decide to shift the structure back to the way it was under Harlan and the way it was with Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson overseeing football instead of the team president. And I said, if you're Matt LaFleur, how on earth are you going to be okay with the new team president saying, hey, I know that you were on the same line of the organizational flowchart as the general manager, but now I'm going to make him your boss. I just don't think you can do that. So maybe someday when they have a new GM and a new head coach, they'll change the structure back. I still don't think it's the right structure, despite the success they've had. But to me, that is a large piece of the Mark Murphy legacy.
Jason, we talked to Adam Wednesday, Gabe?
Yeah, yesterday.
Wednesday. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Gabe.
First name basis, huh? Just you're on a first name basis with Adam Schefter now because he's been doing the show for a little while?
Oh, he's my guy.
Okay, just check.
He called Chewy Mark yesterday, and again, anytime that happens,
that was awkward.
It just throws me off. I didn't want to, he was throwing, so I didn't want to interrupt him. But yeah, he goes, hey, Mark, you tell me this. I'm like, whoa, who's Mark?
But Jason, he said that Tua and the Dolphins are much farther apart than he believes than Jordan Love and the Packers are. And he could see that getting contentious, did he say, Gabe?
I think that's the general sentiment.
Heated? Yes.
I think that's the general sentiment, yes.
Is there any concern that, let's just say, this doesn't get done before the start of training camp or the start of the season, that it could get contentious?
Well, that's a good question, Mark. By the way, how great is it that we have two Packers Hall of Famers on our team, and both of them are named Mark, not to be confused with Mark Neitzel, who is called Keith, but that neither one of them go by Mark. Is that not strange?
Yeah, and it's weird when you hear them called by the name Mark.
Yes. Oh, every time that happens with Tausch, I'm thrown as well. That's a great question, Mark. And I would say this. I feel like they are in such a great place with their coach, their GM, their young wide receivers and tight ends, their defense that they're really, really excited about, and, of course, the quarterback who played at the level that he did during the second half of last season, that the vibe of this team being around it during the off season for as much as I was allowed to be, I think it's a really, really good vibe. So do you want to wreck that by the contract negotiations becoming contentious and maybe, you know, forcing Jordan Love to make the decision if the deal's not done by July 22nd of, do I really participate in these practices without the contract being done? I would guess, and purely a guess, that they want to get this deal done right around the first practice and with the shareholders meeting that day, that they would love, pardon the pun, to have this deal done then, and it can be like a celebration of their next quarterback getting paid and everything, all the pieces being in place, et cetera, et cetera. I do not expect this to get done in the next week or two. It might get done, you know, in the days leading up to training camp based on a couple conversations I've had. Now, things could suddenly accelerate, obviously, but I still don't expect it to get contentious, but I don't think we can just dismiss that possibility out of hand. Like, the elevation of the quarterback market, if I'm Jordan Love's agents, Andrew Kessler and David Mulugeta, I am pushing the envelope on this as hard as possible. And I want to get every penny for my guy. And meanwhile, I still believe the Packers are looking at it going, okay, he's our guy. We know who he is. Remember that quote from a couple weeks ago about how he's been in our building for all these years? We know who he is. That's why we're not afraid to pay him, whatever. They still want to try and scrounge up some extra money from the couch cushions to pay these other wide receivers and tight ends they might have to pay if they decide to pay them. And we know that Brian Gutekunst has suggested that maybe the days of paying all your draft picks are over to second contracts. But they're going to need to pay some of those guys. And so every million that they save on the Love contract can be repurposed to pay those other guys and keep Jordan Love plied with great wide receiver potential. So I still think that this is a challenging scenario, even though everybody wants it to get done and all the things that we've heard. I still am very curious whether they can get it done without there being any contentiousness whatsoever. Because let's be honest, even all these guys that end up with extensions over the years of me covering this team, including probably you, Chewy, there were times in all those negotiations, whether it was a lowball offer to open from the Packers or in the timeline, it taking longer than expected, where there was some contentiousness. And so I'm really curious if they're able to avoid that in this case.
Jason Wilde, you are in top form coming back from your time off, and we certainly appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Did this conversation actually happen, or was it a dream?
This actually happened.
Only you got to go back and retrace your steps, Jason. Only way to figure it out.
Indeed. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
And speaking of that, I just wanted to get to this text message from Dave and Aaron, who said, I had a dream I met Gabe. I've never seen or met him in real life. He was teaching me how to golf, which did not go well. Apparently, I listened to the show too much. Never! All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll be right back after this.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron and the Keywagon say, you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All right, so we got a very quick segment here. Sean weighing in the 414 saying, quit saying Mark Murphy said Rodgers is a complicated fella. Murphy was quoting Ted Thompson, who said that from Sean in Pewaukee. So Gabe and I were debating this during the break, and both things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, Sean, he was quoting Ted Thompson. We actually pulled up the quote. He said, I'm often reminded, though, of Ted Thompson. As most of you know, just a great general manager, passed away this year, or excuse me, earlier this year. He often talked about Aaron, that he's a, and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different players. He would say, he's a complicated fella, so I'll just say that.
He's agreeing.
Yes. So, yes, he is attributing the initial quote and the initial thought to Ted Thompson. But he's co-opting it. He's saying, yes, he said this, but I also agree. And the larger point that needs to be made there was he called Aaron a complicated fella, what, 3 days after a Murphy Takes Five was published, in which he said, yeah, it's going to be best if we just don't say anything publicly. And then the first microphone he found, he said something publicly.
I also think it would be very tough to unspool that and make people believe that Mark Murphy was not responsible for the complicated fella quote. I mean, that sucker has a life of its own, right? Mm-hmm. Jason said, when we talk about Mark Murphy's legacy, that complicated fella is right up there with, like, Title Town.
Yes.
So good luck unringing that bell if that's the hill you want to die on. Now, again, not saying Sean is wrong, just saying it's sort of, he took on the statement. So, yes, it will always be attributed to Mark Murphy, I guess, by extension, Ted Thompson. I don't know if that makes you feel better about the whole thing or not.
No. No, not even a little bit.
Okay. We have the second hour of the show coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.